Good morning, Donna. It's good to be here. It's been a while since I've been out here, but I thank God for the privilege. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning about some ways that God does stuff. And, you know, we forget over there in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 8, he says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." And you say, well, I know that. And yeah, I say that too. But sometimes we forget.
Yes, we do.
As the old boy said, we forget.
We do.
They forget sometime. And so I want to remind you of something, or let you think about something, and see how God goes about doing stuff. And we're going to go to the book of Exodus, chapter 2. And we're looking at Moses and how that, and I'm not going to try to read all of that. I don't need to read it. If you don't know it, why, get the book out and read it. You should have read it anyway. Mm-hmm. And if you're not a believer, you can still read it. I don't know who's listening out there. Nobody ever calls to talk to me here and tell me anything. So I'm just going to talk to you and tell you what's going on here. Anyway, Moses was born to this family of Israelites. They were of the tribe of Levi. And Pharaoh had put out an edict previously that any children that were born, the girls could live, but they were going to execute the boys. And so his mom and daddy kept him around the house for 3 months, and they figured he's getting to where they couldn't hide him anymore. So she put him out in a little basket that she fixed up in such a way that it would float down the Nile. And she went and put it actually in a place where she knew that, I believe she knew, that Pharaoh's daughter bathed. And this little basket or ark came floating by, or she saw it. I believe it said it was caught in the rushes. And then the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the reeds, she sent her maid to get it. And so she didn't have a child, obviously, and so she took this baby into her household. And then Moses' mama had sent his little sister along to go tell that girl that if you need somebody to nurse this baby, to care for him, why, I'll go get her if you need somebody. And so she said, well, go get her. So verse 9 says, Pharaoh's daughter said to her, that is the mother, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. So she was, mama was getting paid to take care of her own baby, which is not a bad deal. It says, "And the child grew, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. So she," Pharaoh's daughter, "called him his name Moses, saying, 'Because I drew him out of the water.'" Moses means drawn out or taken out. Now, we don't know what his Israelite name was. That's never mentioned. Pharaoh's daughter is called him Moses, and that's what we know him as. Now, it occurred to me one day that God knew that this baby, who he was and what he was going to become. See, because God knows all things. You know that, I know. And so he's omniscient. He knows all things. So he prepared this baby, and he sent him on purpose to be raised in Pharaoh's house so that he wouldn't have a slave mentality. Mm-hmm. All of his people had slaves mentality. Israel, the people of Israel, had been in Egypt as slaves for over 300 years. And it don't take long, you get a whole nation of people that have a slave mentality. And God wanted a man who was not raised with that. And so his mama nursed him and raised him, maybe 3 or 4 or 5 years old, we don't know for sure. But anyway, he was raised up in Pharaoh's house educated in Pharaoh's house, trained to be a prince, to be able to lead. And God did that on purpose. You say, well, why would he, why, what do you mean God put him there on purpose? Yeah, he did. Because a man to learn, he had to learn how to be a leader. He didn't just know how to do that. He was taught that. He was taught to be a man of authority. As a Pharaoh's grandson, he would have been raised up knowing he had authority and that he could do whatever he needed to do. And that's the reason why when he went out there and he was exercising authority. He was exercising the DNA of a deliverer that was already in him. God put the DNA of a deliverer in this man from the beginning. That was his destiny, to be the deliverer of a nation. And he set out, and we know where it says that he came to pass in those days when Moses was grown, that he went out to his brethren and looked at his brethren, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. So he ended up killing the guy. He's going to help that Israelite. And then he ended up having to run because that wasn't God's purpose and plan for him to do it that way. Well, the funny thing about it is when he ran away and went, it says, the Bible tells us he went to the land of Midian, chapter 2, verse 16. Well, let's read 15. When Pharaoh heard of this matter, in other words, heard the fact that he had killed this other Egyptian, Pharaoh heard this matter, he sought to kill Moses. But Moses fled from the face of Pharaoh and dwelt in the land of Midian, and he sat down by a well. Now the priest of Midian had 7 daughters, and they came and drew water and filled the troughs to water their father's flock. And then the shepherds came and drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered their flock. Here's the DNA of a deliverer once again showing up in this man. These girls who looked after their father's sheep had to draw the water to water the sheep. And then these other old guys come in there and drove their sheep away and put their sheep at the troughs and watered their sheep, and then the girls had to draw the water again. Well, it didn't happen that way this time because Moses was there, and he just stood up and told them, oh boy, said, you get away from here. And he didn't let them do that. And actually, we see a record of that because verse 18 says, when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you've come so soon today? In other words, they didn't have to draw water twice. They drew it once, they thought they was going to get to use it, and the water was stolen from them, so they had to draw it again, so they were late getting in it all the time. And he said, how come you got home so early today? And they said in verse 19, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds, and he also drew enough water for us and watered the sheep, so he helped them. Drove off those other old boys that was going to steal the water, and then helped them draw the water, so they got through a lot quicker. And did you notice they said an Egyptian? Moses looked like, talked like, acted like, probably smelled like an Egyptian. Mm-hmm. And they didn't know any difference. They didn't know he was an Israelite. And they didn't really know who he was as far as God was concerned. But nonetheless, here he is. Now, there's a funny little thing that you might look at. If you got a Bible, you could go look back at Genesis chapter 46. I was reading and studying this the other day, and it occurred to me something that Joseph said back in Genesis chapter 46, verse 34. Let's start at 31. 47-31. Then Joseph said to his brothers and to his father's household. Now this is after Joseph had been there in Pharaoh's household as prime minister, and he ends up going back and finding he gets connected back with his family, and he brings his daddy and his brothers down to Egypt. Joseph said to his brothers, to his father, and to his father's household, I will go up and tell Pharaoh and say to him, my brothers and those of my father's house who were in the land of Canaan have come to me, and the men are shepherds, for their occupation has been to feed livestock, and they have brought their flocks, their herds, and all that they have. So it shall be when Pharaoh calls you and says, what is your occupation? that you shall say, your servant's occupation has been with livestock from our youth even till now, both we and also our fathers, that we may dwell in the land, that you may dwell in the land of Goshen, for every shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. He said, you tell them you're shepherds. You tell Pharaoh that you're shepherds. Egyptians don't like shepherds, don't like sheep. Sheep smell funny. Mm-hmm. And obviously the Egyptians didn't like that. And so he said, you tell him that, and he'll put you over there in the land of Goshen, and you won't have to be connected with or have anything to do with the Egyptians, but you'll be provided for. And as long as Joseph was alive, things remained that way. But the thought I wanted you to get is that Moses was raised up in the household of an Egyptian, and he was taught to hate sheep too. Mm. Egyptians, it says, shepherds and sheep are an abomination or something hated by Egyptians. So, excuse me. So God sent Moses to a place. And immediately, the first thing that happens is he's in a place where he's not comfortable. If I send you someplace to be with somebody or something that you've been taught to despise, you're going to be uncomfortable. So, did you ever think that God may have put you in your uncomfortable circumstances on purpose? Because he's doing something. You see, God on purpose put Moses in the house of Pharaoh to keep him from having a slave mentality. Then he had to send him, God sent him on purpose to the house of Jethro, or Reuel. Actually, Jethro is his title, Reuel is his name. It says that there in Exodus chapter 2, verse 18. When they came to Reuel, their father, he said to them, how is it you've come so soon? Now, he's later referred to as Jethro, the high priest of Midian. Well, I looked it up one day, and it's there to see. Jethro's not just a name. We use it as a name, but actually it's a title. Hmm. He was a chief priest.
You have to get a little study in.
You have to look in the Strong's Concordance to figure that out. Otherwise, you think he had two names. And that'd be all right if he did. I'm just saying it was a title. And so God sent Moses on purpose into what was going to be an uncomfortable circumstance in his life in order to teach him. Now Jethro, I've probably said this here before, I don't know for sure, but Jethro, God sent him to Jethro on purpose. He said he was the high priest of Midian. Jethro was a descendant of Abraham. Abraham, it's in Genesis 24-25. Let me go back and look. I'll just give you the reference, and you can go back and look at it later if you want to. Genesis chapter 25, the Bible says that Abraham, verse 1, took a wife, and her name was Keturah. Sarah had died, and he remarried. And he had six sons by her. And one of them's name was Midian. And when they grew up, because Isaac was the chosen seed, it says he gave everything he had to Isaac. Isaac inherited he was heir to everything, spiritually and otherwise. But it says he gave gifts to the sons of his concubine, Keturah. And then when he sent them away, well, when he sent them away, God was working that to on purpose, 300 years later down the road, have a man named Reuel to be there when Moses got there. You say, well, what's that got to do with anything? Well, because Moses trained his sons to know the Lord. In Genesis 18:19, it says, God says, I have known Moses, or known Abraham, or had relation and fellowship with him in order to teach him that he can train his sons in the ways of righteousness and justice so that I can give to Abraham that which I promised him. In other words, what God was going to do for Abraham was going to come through his sons. And if Moses, if Reuel had not been there when Moses got there, then Moses wouldn't have been trained in the things of the Lord. You say, well, his mama did that. Well, she probably did some of it. But let me tell you, he spent a whole lot more time with Jethro than he did with his own mama. He lived 40 years with Jethro in the land of Midian. And Jethro was a man who knew God. And Jethro discipled and fathered Moses in the ways of the Lord. You say, well, the Bible don't say all that. No, it don't. And sometimes you do have to read between the lines to understand what's... God just don't lay everything out, 1, 2, 3, 4. If that's what you're looking for in the Bible, you ain't going to know much. You have to be able to listen to the Holy Spirit and look at. And so when I see that Jethro was the priest of Midian, and that Moses lived with him for 40 years, married one of his daughters, and then let's just for fun go to Exodus 18, so you see that I'm not just out on a limb somewhere. Exodus 18. Now, if you know the scripture, Moses has already been to Pharaoh, or already told him, let my people go. They already been through the 10 plagues and all of that that happened. And finally, the last plague was the death angel. The Israelites had gone into their houses, put the blood over the doorposts, and the death angel passed over them. But the firstborn of every household of the Egyptians died. And so Pharaoh called Moses and said, take them and get out of here. Y'all leave. We want you to leave. Please go. And so they left. That's all happened. And chapter 18, they've come across the Red Sea. They're in the wilderness. They've gone to Mount Sinai and they're camped around Mount Sinai. And Jethro's heard about all of this. And that's what it says. Verse 1 of chapter 18, Jethro, the priest of Midian, Moses' father-in-law, heard of all that God had done for Moses and for Israel, his people, that the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. So he was bringing Moses' family, his wife and his two boys, back to Moses. And we read in after they got together, verse 6, says, now he said to Moses, I, your father-in-law Jethro, am coming to you with your wife and her two sons with her. So Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, bowed down and kissed him. Now here's God's man, 80-year-old man, full of faith and anointing from God, but he goes to this old man and he bows down and kisses him. So that tells me he has some regard and even sees this man as having some measure of spiritual authority in his life. He honors him and bows down and kisses him. Says, and they ask each other about their well-being, and they went to the tent. Moses told his father-in-law everything that had happened, and it says Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done. Verse 10. Now listen to Jethro's testimony. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians and out of the hand of Pharaoh, and who has delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now look at verse 11. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods, for in the very thing in which they have behaved proudly, he was above them. Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat bread with Moses' father-in-law before God. This old man had been raised up by one of the descendants of Abraham. Midian was Abraham's son, and Jethro was a great, 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 I don't know how many great sons of the guy called Midian. And Abraham had taught these men to know the Lord. They just weren't the promised seed. Isaac was that. But they knew the Lord. And when Moses got there, because Moses married his daughter, I think Jethro took this Egyptian man and taught him, trained him, discipled him in the ways of God. And so when Moses is up there on Mount Sinai and sees that burning bush, and God calls him, he's not unmindful of God Almighty. He responds. And so what was happening, all this that we've talked about, is God raising up a deliverer. He put him in the house of Pharaoh so he wouldn't have a slave mentality. He had to bring him out of Pharaoh's house and retrain him and get some of the Egyptian ways out of him. You say, well, he shouldn't have put him there in Egypt anyway. God knows what he's doing.
Yes, he does.
He knew he already had Jethro prepared over there in the land of Midian to receive this man. So, but he put him, first thing he did, he put him in Pharaoh's house, and that was good. But it says, if you read the book of Hebrews, let's go read about Moses and how he handled the thing there from coming out of the house of Pharaoh. Hebrews 11:24. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 24. It says, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Now, he left Egypt on purpose. He ran out as a fugitive. I don't think he disliked living in Pharaoh's house. I don't think he disliked the place of privilege that he had. But he had to come to a place where he chose to stay there with Jethro. And I'm not discounting what this says. It just doesn't tell you the whole story. Listen, we don't learn how to walk with God overnight. None of us. I was raised in a Christian family. My mama and daddy, their mothers and daddies were believers. So I was raised in a Christian household. I still needed to be born again. God don't have no grandkids.
Yeah.
And so I was received the Lord at the age of 11 years old, was baptized in water, and set out on the walk that God had for me. I just had a desire to read the Scripture and read the Bible, decided I was going to read the Bible through. And I did in about a year. But that didn't, you know, that was just the beginning. Who I am today and what I know today about the Lord has come over the 60 years my walk with God.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't, what God does in our lives, He doesn't make us something overnight. That isn't how it works. And
it takes a lifetime.
It takes a lifetime. That's what God told me. He said, don't be in no hurry. He said, what I'm doing in your life is going to take the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so that.
So there's no point we get finished.
No, I.
So if you're looking for that, it's not going.
That's you don't, you know, you continue to walk with God, and He's continually doing things to bring about His purpose. What He's doing, Romans 8:29, those whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that the Son, Jesus, might be the firstborn among many brethren. Well, God was in the process of raising up or shaping and molding a deliverer. Here in Moses' life, He was bringing him to the place. And he was 80 years old before he got to where God could do what He wanted to do with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we want to, you know, we get saved and baptized in the Holy Ghost and can speak in tongues and dance and shout and do all that stuff. And we want to go out and change the world.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get upset with God because nothing happens next week.
Mm-hmm.
And
we give up.
We quit. We get mad at God, or we get mad at the church. Somebody didn't do something. We don't understand. So, you see, there's in Exodus 2, verse 23, there's a little phrase. I'll just read you. It says this. I'm going to read 23 through 25. It says, it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, the Pharaoh, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage, and God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel and had respect unto them. Now, here's the funny thing. By this time, Israel has been nearly 400 years, maybe a little over 400 years, in bondage, in slavery, in Egypt. Now, the first 50 years or so after they were there, why they weren't slaves. But after Joseph died, things changed. And over the process of time, they went from the place of being their own men and free people to where the Egyptians enslaved them. And it took them a while. It says, if you read it, it says, they sighed and cried because by reason of the bondage. They cried to God and their cry came up to God by reason of the bondage. So, something's happening over here in Egypt among the Israelites. The pressure's been put on them, and they're crying out to God for deliverance. And over here in the land of Midian, God's raising up a man called Moses, and he's bringing them together to a certain point to accomplish what he's doing. But the people had to cry out to God for a deliverer. God already had the deliverer prepared. And he brought them together. So the question that I want to ask you is this. I wrote this down. Have you considered that the Lord has you where you are in your life situation so as to disciple, train, chasten you so that you can be an instrument in the hand of the Lord to bring deliverance to the people of God? You see, we kick and we jump and holler and scream, I don't like what's going on. If I was someplace else, everything would be better. Mm-hmm. Well, no, God has you where you are on purpose to shape and mold you into the vessel that he's called you to be. Mm-hmm. Our problem is, I don't think Moses fully understood that. Mm-hmm. But here he is, he goes over, he's a fugitive, a murderer. And he meets these Midianites, and he gets married to this girl. Jethro gives him his daughter, and he got a wife, and he's got two sons, and so he has to learn how to be a shepherd, become something he hated. Yeah, and God put him in that situation. So sometimes God
will. It wasn't punishment.
It wasn't punishment. It was the pressure, the workings of how God does to bring about His purpose. Mm-hmm. When I was 17 years old, I wanted to go to college and be a chemist. That's why I love to this day. I like chemistry. I like to even read about it. That was what I wanted to do. Well, that didn't happen. Now I could have been all mad and aggravated and disgusted.
You did it anyway.
Huh?
You could have done it anyway.
I could have done it anyway, but the fact of the matter is, a year later, Clolita and I got married, and she had a bad habit. She liked to eat. Yeah. So I had to go to work and earn a living.
At least once a day she liked to eat, right? So you had to provide that.
I had that same bad habit, so I had to go to work. I couldn't go to school. And there's a lot of things that, you know, we look back and say, wow, you know, was that me or was that God? Moses could have said the same thing. Was that me or was that God? God was working in the midst of the mess.
Yeah.
But we don't look at that. And all I'm trying to do is to get you to think. If you're born again, you're called of God, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And whatever that is, God has to shape you and mold you into that vessel. And He uses the circumstances of your life. The thing is, if you'll decide you'll draw near to God and begin to find out what He's doing, and the only way you find that out is by asking questions. Most of us, we just go along fat, dumb, and happy and don't never ask anything. Mm-hmm. We just float along. But ask God what He's doing. So consider that God has you where you are. The next question, are you taking advantage of all that the Lord is placing before you to make His ways known to you? You see, Egypt, the pressure in Egypt caused the people of God to cry out. And when they cried out to God, God heard them. Sometimes we just grit our teeth instead of crying out to God. Do you think that the stress of living in this world is beginning to cause people to cry out to the Lord? Look at me, boys and girls, brothers and sisters. God's got pressure on us today. 15 years ago, we'd have never believed that the kind of stuff that's going on in our nation could be going on. Never would have believed it, that we would have a president that would be doing the stuff that this one's doing, saying the stuff that this one's saying. There's pressure on you in the land that you live in, but you got to cry out to God. So, if you do not yet think that the Lord knows how to allow pressure, Pharaoh to put pressure to cause a cry to come up in the people, just think again. If you do not yet think that God allows Pharaoh, there's still a Pharaoh. We got a Pharaoh. And there's pressure being put on us through the government. Now, you say, well, you don't like living where you... I'm thankful I was born in America. But I also know that God works in the midst of the mess to bring about His purpose. So the church needs to begin to cry out to God for the kingdom to be made manifest in our lives. I'm not talking about going to heaven. I'm talking about learning how to live by kingdom precepts and kingdom principles. Father answered the cry of the people with Moses. He had already prepared Moses. Let me just tell you, some of you out there may be somebody else's Moses. God may be working in your life to prepare you to be able to touch the life of somebody else that needs to be delivered from the power of darkness, from the power of the enemy. So here's the thought. The Lord is preparing on both ends. Moses was being prepared while Egypt was getting more stressful, while the Israelites in Egypt were getting more stress. The Lord is preparing on both ends. Moses is being prepared while Egypt is getting more stressful. The Lord is always preparing deliverers. He's always doing that. That's part of my job. God called me to turn men from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God by bringing the message of the kingdom. And so and it didn't happen in a moment. I had that when I was born into the earth. I had that call on my life, but I was in my 40s before I fully understood. I was in ministry before I was 40, but I was in my 40s before I began to understand what God was bringing about. And even then, it's only been in the last 10 years that it's become more clear to me how God was doing that. And so the message of the kingdom of God is a message of deliverance from the world system, not just a trip to heaven. It's the way for the Lord to fulfill His promise to Abraham, to bring back God's original purpose that He stated in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. You can go read that. I'm going to pray. Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Father, I thank You, I praise You for Your goodness and Your kindness. I thank You, my Father, for illuminating the eyes of our understanding, giving us wisdom and grace to see and to hear, to understand, Lord, that in the midst of the pressure and problems that You're working to shape and mold us into the vessel that You've called us to be, to fulfill the purpose that You've placed us here in the earth for. And Father, I thank You, I praise You, and I honor You for doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.